Greetings, everyone, and welcome to the Law Hour and Editorial Review. The Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is an educational service in the public interest. I'm your narrator, George Gordon. The Law Hour and Editorial Review is heard nationally on 29 AM and FM radio stations 7 days a week here in the United States and in more than 70 countries worldwide on the Internet. For more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please visit my webpage. That's georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. The Law Hour and Editorial Review brings you important information about law news and current events, so stay tuned for tonight's special report on how music improves or lowers IQ right after this. You know, once in a while we get a glimpse of the real world through the eyes of an insider. An insider like John Swinton, for instance. He was the former editor of the New York Tribune. Here's what he said to the New York Press Association on February 26, 1936. He said, "There's no such thing as a free and independent press in America." Well, not unless it's in some country town, and there's not one of you who dares express an honest opinion, because you know beforehand it would never appear in print. Now, I'm paid $150 a week for keeping my honest opinions out of the paper that I'm connected with. Others of you are paid for doing similar things. Now, if I should permit my honest opinions to be printed in one issue of my paper like Othello before 24 hours, my occupation would be gone. Our business is to lie outright, to pervert, to vilify, to fawn at the feet of mammon, to sell his race and his country for his daily bread. We are, he said, the tools of rich men behind the scenes. We are intellectual prostitutes. Unquote. Now, these rich men behind the scenes are the movers and shakers of the Global 2000 program and this New World Order, men and families like the Windsors, the Rockefellers, Bushes, Bundys, Carnegies, Vanderbilts. I say it's time to wise up and start listening more to the God of Abraham and stop following after all of these crazy scientists, philosophers, preachers, and politicians. And let's prepare to live through and survive this New World Order and Global 2000 insanity. Now, to learn more about Global 2000 and Bible prophecy and this New World Order and how it affects us all, why don't you call and order my 4-hour compact disc package. Remember, that's educational, entertaining, it's informative, best of all, it's free of charge. And you can call me right now, the number 417-273-4967. Or if you're online, you can go to the website, georgegordon.org, click onto the email and send me an email request for your free general law CD package. Again, that's georgegordon.org or call direct, 417-273-4967. While a young teenager proves that hard rock is bad for you, that's our lead article, Suffolk, Virginia, your mom was right. Rock and roll really does rot your brain. That's according to David Morrell. He's a 16-year-old Nansemond River High School student whose science experiment supports what parents have been saying for years. Hard rock taints the brain. Well, at least the brains of mice. Using 72 male laboratory mice, a stopwatch, and 5-by-3-foot maze, and the music of Mozart and Anthrax, David worked with an Old Dominion University statistician to establish that hard rock impedes learning. In the process, the rising junior captured top honors in regional and state science fairs, and he earned accolades from the Navy and the CIA. "Don't let your children listen to hard rock music," he said. "I think it has a major negative effect." To prove his point, David assembled 3 separate groups of 24 mice. A control group, a hard rock group, and a classical group. To ensure scientific validity, each white mouse weighed between 15 and 20 grams, was 4 to 6 weeks old, and was bred to ensure that no genetic abnormalities existed. The mice spent the first week getting used to their controlled environment in David's parents' basement. They received measured feedings and 12 hours of light each day. Each mouse navigated the maze to establish the base time of about 10 minutes. Then David started piping in music 10 hours a day. The control group navigated without music. He put each mouse through the maze 3 times a week for 3 weeks. The results. The control group shaved 5 minutes from its original time. The mice that navigated the maze with Mozart knocked 8.5 minutes off of their time. But the group listening to hard rock bumped through the maze, dazed and confused, taking an average of 30 minutes. Actually tripling the amount of time that it previously took them to complete the maze. Most noticeably, the hard rock mice didn't sniff the air to find the trails of others that came before them. It was as if the music dulled their senses. It shows point blank that hard rock has a negative effect all around. I can't think of a positive effect that hard rock has on learning. In fact, David thinks that the negative effects go well beyond learning. During the 4-month experiment, David housed each mouse in separate aquariums. That's because last year, for a similar project, he kept each group together. The results were tragic. I had to cut my project short because all of the hard rock mice killed each other. David's awards include first place in the Behavioral Science Division at the Virginia State Science and Engineering Fair and the Tidewater Science Fair. He also won Northern Virginia Community College's Veterinary Technology Award and accolades from the Newport News Art Commission, the Science and Humanitarian Symposium at James Madison University and the Navy and the CIA. Now that's quite an experiment. Now let's take a look at what happens when we listen to Mozart. It's called the Mozart effect. What is the Mozart effect? Well, the Mozart effect is an exclusive or inclusive term signifying the transformational powers of music in health, education, and well-being. The Mozart effect is a registered trademark, and it represents the use of music and the arts to improve the health of families and communities, the general use of music to improve memory, awareness, and the integration of learning styles, the innovative and experimental uses of music to improve listening and attention deficit disorders, the therapeutic uses of music for mental and physical disorders and injuries, and the collective uses of music for imagery and visualization to activate creativity and reduce depression and anxiety. So what is the Mozart effect? Frequently asked questions such as this. The Mozart effect is an inclusive term signifying the transformational powers of music in health, education, and well-being. It represents the general use of music to reduce stress, depression, or anxiety, induce relaxation or sleep, activate the body, and to improve memory and awareness. Innovative and experimental uses of music and sound can improve listening disorders, dyslexia, attention deficit disorder, autism, and other mental and physical disorders and injuries. Well, what is the history of the Mozart effect? Answer. Research with Mozart's music began in France in the late 1950s when Dr. Alfred Tomatis began his experiments in auditory stimulation for children with speech and communication disorders. By 1990, there were hundreds of centers throughout the world using Mozart's music containing high frequency, especially the violin concertos and symphonies, to help children with dyslexia, speech disorders, and autism. In the 1990s, experiments were begun at the University of California at Irvine with Mozart's music and special intelligence assessments. As recently as 2001, the studies in England used Mozart's music to study its effects on epilepsy. Question. What is special about music for the Mozart effect recordings? Answer. Mozart wrote more than 600 major compositions during his lifetime, beginning at the age of 5. The clarity, the form, the excellence of the performance, and the frequency response have all gone into the selection of this special series of Mozart's music. The music has been sequenced for different activities. Music containing high frequency for stimulating the auditory system in the brain has been selected based upon the work of Dr. Tomatis. The relaxation albums are slower and do not include the higher frequencies. The selections have been sequenced according to key tempo and a variety of other psychological and physiological, as well as aesthetic factors, to achieve a variety of auditory, physical, and emotional responses. Now, why is Mozart's music beneficial for learning and health? The answer, Mozart's music is the most popular and researched music for helping modify attentiveness and alertness. The structural and not overtly or overly emotional expression helps clarify time, space, and perception. It is not overstimulating, and the structures of the rondo, sonata, allegro form, and variation of these forms are basic ways in which the brain becomes familiar with the development and familiarity of ideas. Now, what other music is beneficial for learning? Answer. Well, each learning environment should be assessed before using music. The time of day, the sounds in the environment, such as air conditioners and outside sounds, all modify the way we can concentrate. Each person responds to sound differently when tired or after having a meal. At times, 10 minutes of stimulating music that quickens the heartbeat and awakens the imagination is useful, such as marches, folk, or popular music. Dr. Georgi Lazanov suggests slow Baroque music for optimal learning. Bach, Handel, Cornell, Telemann. Question. How do I make best use of recordings to improve study and creativity? Answer. Well, some people are hyper-responsive to sound. and music can distract them during study. Others learn how to select music for their different moods and projects. Generally, the challenge to study comes when we're overstimulated and cannot settle down to focus, or we are dull, tired, or bored and cannot get the energy to begin a task. In two CD sets, the Mozart Effect, Focuses, and Clarity, two different types of music help you develop your own style of preparation for study. Once you learn when your mind needs relaxation or stimulation, you can develop a variety of ways to use music to help you maintain good study habits. Now, I've got a couple of more of these Mozart effects, and then we have a treatise on what happens when you listen to hard rock or rap music. What does it do to people's minds? Does it make them kill or want to kill? Well, stand by. We'll be back with more on music and your IQ when we return. All right, you're listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. You know, marriage is a state-licensed business. It's a three-party limited general partnership between you, your spouse, and the state. And like any other state-licensed enterprise, it is regulated by the Welfare Department, the Department of Family Services, and the Family Court. And the best part about it all is that you have no input into or say-so over the marriage, divorce, dissolution, custody, alimony, child support, protective custody, or restraining orders. But you get to pay for all of them. And if you fail to pay, you go to jail. Marriage is the most important and the most expensive contract that you can engage in. It's more binding and costly than your military enlistment or 30-year home mortgage. And you probably know a whole lot less about that marriage contract than you do about your military obligation or your house payments. 67% of all marriages here in the United States end in divorce. But whether you are a husband or wife, you do have rights, privileges, and immunities to advance, to protect, or defend against any breach of this marriage contract. That's why you should know and understand the terms and conditions of your marriage contract before you marry. And you should write that contract instead of letting the state write it for you. Now, whether you're married or not, why don't you write for my free general law CD package and let me share some vital information with you about the law and the marriage contract. To order yours, just call direct 417-273-4967. Be sure to ask for the 2004 schedule and the free CD set. Now, that's a four-hour commentary on the Gordon Law School. It's entertaining, it's educational, it's informative. Best of all, it's free of charge, and you're ready right now to order yours by simply calling 417-273-4967. If you're online, just go to the webpage, georgegordon.org. That's easy to remember, georgegordon.org. Click on to the email machine and send me an email request for your free general law CD package. Remember, that's georgegordon.org, or call direct, 417-273-4967. All right, we're talking about the Mozart effect. How does music affect your IQ? What does music do to you or for you? Well, researchers have been studying music from Beethoven, and they've studied music from hard acid rock, heavy metal, rap, and the conclusions are startling. First of all, Mozart and the Mozart effect. How do I make best use of recordings to improve study and creativity? Well, some people are hyper-responsive to sound, and music can distract them from study. Others learn how to select music for their different moods and projects. Well, what is sound healing? The answer is, sound is the vibrational field that makes up language, music, and tone. When it's organized, we communicate words. Music is a language. We communicate ideas, feelings, and expressions. In its disorganized form, music creates noise. Sound, whether we are in the womb or even in a coma, reaches our brain and our bodies through skin, bones, and our ears. Every person listens in different ways. When rhythm, melody, and harmony are organized into beautiful forms, the mind, body, spirit, and the emotions are brought toward harmony. There are dozens of ways in which sound and music is used throughout the world. Well, how is music used in a healing context? The answer to that, music helps release the stress of being ill. It can revitalize, inspire, and reduce pain. Music is not an instant cure for disease, although there is much research on the importance of auditory stimulation in health. The ear is essential for balance. It's essential for language, expression, and spatial orientation. Music and rhythmic patterns are used extensively before and after surgery, and for patients who have had strokes and head injuries. Music therapists are trained specialists who can assist in physical development and psychological settings. A musical background is not necessary for the patient. Music reaches multiple areas of your brain, more than just language, and therefore can be very effective in a clinical environment. Now, does music actually help raise people's IQ? Answer, there have been many different studies and probably 100 different ways to measure intelligence. We know certain music brings us to greater attentiveness, allowing for better focus and concentration. Studies show that playing music early in life helps build the neural pathways that allow language, memory, and spatial development to take place. We know that stimulating linguistic rhymes, dances, movement, and play in the early years are essential to the foundation of bringing the emotions, mind, and body together. Music can be effective in study and assist in concentration. A popular study into the study showed students who listened to Mozart prior to testing scored higher marks in an intelligence test and was published in Nature magazine in 1993. The study by Rosher, Shaw, and Kai is entitled Music and Spatial Task Performance. Cited from the Mozart Effect, pages 28, 303, and 305, and 306. Well, how about the music of murder? If music can raise our intelligence or our IQ, and if music can be a therapy, can music also be used for baser effects? Well, how about rapping about cop killing? These are two essays reprinted by kind permission of the Academy of Criminal Justice Sciences. It's entitled The Music of Murder by Dennis R. Martin. Martin, former president and National Association of Chiefs of Police. He said, "In my career in law enforcement, I have weathered the rough seas of society, first as a patrol officer, then as a director of police training, shift commander, police chief, and now as the president of the National Association of Chiefs of Police. As tumultuous as contemporary society is today, it could not exist without the foundation of law. We Americans are fortunate to live under a government of laws, not of men. The United States Constitution is a remarkable and unique compact between the government and its people. The First Amendment, in particular, states a once revolutionary concept with great power and simplicity. It says, Congress shall make no law abridging the freedom of speech." Unquote. In our three-branched system of government, the will of the people is expressed through duly elected legislators in Congress and enforced by an elected executive. The Constitution finds its voice in the judicial branch of government. What are the people to do when the laws that are meant to ensure their freedom are abused in a manner that erodes the very foundation of that law? Early First Amendment cases sanctioned restrictions on speech where free speech in its exercise created a clear and present danger or an existing danger or where a serious evil would result. In two centuries, First Amendment law has evolved to the point where practically the only prohibited free speech involves the mention of God in public assemblies. The misuse of the First Amendment is graphically illustrated in Time Warner's attempt to insert into the mainstream culture the vile and dangerous lyrics of the Ice-T song entitled Cop Killer. The Body Count album containing Cop Killer was shipped throughout the United States in miniature body bags. Only days before distribution of the album was voluntarily suspended, Time Warner flooded the record market with a 500,000 copies. The Cop Killer song has been implicated in at least two shooting incidents and has inflamed racial tensions in cities all across America. Those who work closely with the families of friends of slain police officers, as I do, volunteering for the American Police Hall of Fame and Museum, have been outraged by the message of Cop Killer. It is a particular affront to police officers, 144 of which in 1992 alone have been killed in the line of duty while upholding the laws of our society and protecting all of our citizens. Is it fair to blame a musical composition for the increase in racial tensions and the shooting incidents? Music has the power both to soothe the savage beast and to stir violent emotions in man. Music can create an ambience for gentle romance or unleash brutal sensuality. It can transcend the material world and make our hearts soar to a realm of spiritual beauty, yet the trend in American rock music for the past decade or more has been to promote ever more vile, deviant, and sociopathic behavior. Recognition leading to fame and fortune far exceeding merit propels music performers and the industry to attack every shared value that has bound our society together for more than two centuries. The power that music works on the human mind can be seen throughout history. Music has existed in every known society. The Bible contains numerous references to music. Music is found in the ancient tales of China, as well as in the traditions of Native Americans. In the beginning of human history, music stood at the center of life, acting as an intermediary between the natural and the supernatural. It was both handmaiden to religion and the cornerstone of education. While there may be music without culture, culture without music is unthinkable. The earliest music consisted of a vocal melody with rhythmic regular beats kept by the hands and feet. In time, the pattern of beats evolved into more complicated rhythms. Formal music found its roots in China beginning around 2000 BC. Ritualistic music emerged around 1900 BC among the Israelites during the reign of the Canaanites. By setting stories and teachings to music, pre-literate Hebrew leaders were able to memorize and recite long passages of music and to entertain and instruct their audience with greater impact than words alone could convey. One generation handed down to the next the Hebrew laws, the traditions, and important historic events in song, often accompanied by a simple harp. Folk music is the basis for formal music. The march, for example, dates from the Roman Empire. Its insistent rhythm, powerful major chords, and strong, simple melody were designed to ignite courage in the hearts of those preparing for battle, and possibly to encourage fear in their enemies. Well, we got to take a break here. We'll be right back, and we'll take a look at this question. The Mozart effect, can it increase your IQ? And the music of murder, can music incite people to murder and violence? Researchers say it can. We'll be back with more when we return right after this. All right, you're listening to the Law Hour and Editorial Review, sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Well, when people call the law school, they ask how they can learn more about the topics that I speak on over the air. Well, every topic that I cover on the air, I teach in detail in one of my classes. These classes are tailored for busy people in every walk of life, people just like you. For example, the origin of the common law. How is the common law applicable today? How do we use the common law in court, out on the street, at home, at work? Where did this thing that we call the common law come from anyway, and of what value is it in the 21st century? Well, the common law is important because it affects your status, and your status is how you're being taxed. And it's important because it affects your property or your lack of property. Now, this common law lesson is the first of 46 lessons in my tax and status school. And in this school, we have three basic goals. First, you need to stay out of jail. Second, you need to save your assets. And third, you need to solve your tax problem once and for all. Now, if you want to live your life peaceably and be left alone, then this tax and status class is designed just for you. And you can call, write, or wire George Gordon and ask for my free general law CD package, and I'll show you why the common law is so important to you and in so many different ways. Now, for more information about my tax and status school, why don't you call and order my free general law CD package first? Now, that's a four-hour commentary on the law in general. It's educational, it's informative, it's entertaining. Best of all, it's free of charge, and you can call and order yours right now, the number 417-273-4967. And my tax and status school is also available on compact disc for adult home study. And if you're online, you can go to the website, georgegordon.org, click onto the email machine, and send me an email request for that free general law CD package. That's georgegordon.org, or call direct 417-273-4967. Can music cause people to commit murder and mayhem? Well, that's the subject of an article written by Dennis R. Martin. He's the head of the Chiefs of Police of the United States. He was a patrol officer, then director of police training, shift commander, police chief, and now as the president of the National Association of Chiefs of Police, here's what he has to say about it. He goes on to say that led by Saint Benedict, the early Christian church developed the art of choral singing, or chorale singing, and over the centuries, sacred choral music has provided us with a view of the world to come. A branch of choral music, or chorale music, evolved into opera, a form of music more than once credited with inciting riots. In 1830, the Brussels premiere of La Mute de Fortes by Daniel Espirit ignited the Belgian independence movement against the Dutch. In 1842, Giuseppe Verdi achieved overnight fame after the debut of his third opera, Nabucca, which inspired rioting in Milan. One of the choruses, Va Pensilero, so touched the Italian soldiers that it was adopted as the Italian anthem. Perhaps the greatest composition combining choral or chorale and symphonic modes in the Ninth Symphony of Beethoven. An utterly revolutionary work, both musically and politically. It proclaims that all men will be brothers when the power of joy resides in their hearts, binding together the fabric of society torn asunder by different cultural mores. This was not a popular sentiment to express in Vienna, the seat of power in the reactionary Austrian Empire of the time. Now, the 20th century brought new sounds to America, atonal classical music, the big band era, jazz, and country and western, among others. History recorded two world wars in which Germanic leaders preyed upon human society. The American musical response, spearheaded by George M. Cohan, was proudly defiant, full of valor and resolve. Across the Atlantic, German composer Paul Hindemith was charged with a war crime because his compositions reflected spiritual ideas and themes of renewal. He was barred from performing music at all in Germany. The 1950s and 1960s ushered in a new era for music in which elements of jazz, bluegrass, and country music combined to create early rock and roll. Bill Haley of Bill Haley and the Comets holds the distinction of being the country's first composer of rock and roll. In 1955, with the rise of the king of rock and roll, Elvis Presley, rock and roll forever changed the world. For the first time, contemporary music did not reflect the values of society, but rather, they glamorized rebelliousness and adolescent sexuality. Later, lyrics of the 1960s and 70s espoused drug abuse. Heavy metal bands of the 70s and 80s and even into the 90s, with bands such as Guns N' Roses, promote a panoply of antisocial behavior and attitude. The common denominator of their music is that self-gratification and self-expression excuse aggressively violent and sexual behavior inflicted on others. The new kid on the popular music scene has stretched the fabric of our First Amendment like none before. Rap music is a culmination of the course charted by Elvis Presley. Put his rebellion, his swagger, and sexuality into the pressurized cauldron of a black ghetto, and the resulting music explodes with rage. It is primitive music, stripped of melodic line and original chord progressions. The beat alone propels the street-smart rhyming verse lyrics through topics of deprivation, rebellion, poverty, sex, guns, drug abuse, and AIDS. Since the Rodney King incident and the subsequent riots in Los Angeles, the media has contributed to a climate wherein police bashing is socially and politically correct. Ignored is the role that police play in safeguarding the lives and liberties of all law-abiding citizens. The ingrained hatred of police authority, already prevalent in poor urban hoods, is easily mobilized by the aggressive lyrics of rap music. The framers of our Constitution lived in a world far different from our world today. Could they have imagined a day when music would become a tool to destabilize a democratic society by provoking civil unrest, violence, and even murder? Yet the lyrics of rapper Ice-T's Cop Killer do precisely that by describing steps to kill a cop. Time Warner's recording company not only defended the instructional song, but they marketed the album by shipping it in miniature body bags, complete with a 3x4-foot poster graphically depicting a cop killer. The company flooded the United States market with an additional 500,000 copies just prior to Ice-T's announcement that distribution would be suspended voluntarily. While on patrol in July of 1992, two Las Vegas, Nevada police officers were ambushed and shot and killed by four juvenile delinquents who boasted that Ice-T's Cop Killer gave them a sense of duty and purpose to get even with a F-ing pig. The juveniles continued to sing its lyrics when they were apprehended and taken to jail. Notwithstanding the predictability of police being ambushed after such a rousing call to arms, Time Warner continues to defend the song. In a letter addressed to Chief Gerald S. Ehrenberg, executive director of the National Association of Chiefs of Police, Time Warner Vice Chairman Martin D. Payson gave his rationale for Warner Brothers' recording and mass marketing of the song Cop Killer. Ice-T is attempting to express the rage and frustration of young black persons and what they feel in the face of official brutality and systematic racism. Though the incidents of brutality may be perpetrated by a small number of police, the impact on the black community is intense and it's widespread. The anger that exists is neither an invention of Ice-T's nor a figment of the creation and creative imagination. It is real and it is growing. Our job as a society is to address the causes of this anger, not to suppress its articulation. This last sentence is disingenuous at best. Is Time Warner addressing the causes of black anger? Or is Time Warner magnifying isolated instances of anger into a fashionable popular sentiment and then reaping handsome profits in the process. Would Thomas Jefferson have advocated using the First Amendment as a shield to publish a step-by-step guide on how to ambush and murder policemen? The Body Count album also contains Smoked Pork, a song describing how Ice-T murders two police officers, with a dialogue that is so graphic that the lyrics were not printed with the album. Freedom of speech ought to end short of advocating violent physical harm to fellow members of society. If Ice-T had instead produced a song describing how to sexually abuse and torture young children, perhaps there would be an appropriate public outcry. A full measure of consideration ought to be given to the lives and welfare of our nation's police officers and their families, don't you think? Safety and order in any community requires a partnership of a type that can exist only in a functioning democracy. Public attitudes toward the police may play a part in the frightening rise in crime rates. Disrespect for the law enforcement officer breeds disrespect for the law. A child who is raised to laugh at cops is not likely to grow up with any great respect for the laws that that cop enforces. Youthful experimenters confused by adolescent anxiety look up to Ice-T as a powerful role model who supports hatred, racism, sexual abuse, and vile crimes that he depicts through dialogue in his lyrics. Decades of misrepresentation and abuse of law enforcement and entertainment and education have left their mark. Society is now finding that it cannot ridicule the enforcers of the law on one hand and then build respect for the law on the other. You cannot separate the two any more than you can separate education from teachers, justice from judges, or religion from the ministry. This is a treatise that is written by Dennis R. Martin, a former head of the National Chiefs of Police of the United States. Hang on, we'll be back with more when we return right after this. All right, you're listening to The Law Hour and Editorial Review, sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. For more information about the Gordon Law School and The Law Hour, please go to my website. That's georgegordon.org. The Law School conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc. For more information, just go to the homeschooling page on the website. And The Law Hour website is updated weekly, and it has our radio log schedule and archives, and it can be accessed through my website at georgegordon.org. The Law School offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. To order yours, please call The Law School at 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967, or go to the website georgegordon.org. All right, the question that we're discussing is, can music influence people's behavior? What does music do to you or for you? Well, researchers have been studying music from Beethoven to rap, and the conclusions are startling. This treatise, written by Dennis R. Martin, he was a former head of the Police Chiefs of the United States, the Association of Police Chiefs. And what he's revealing here is that, yes, this rap music causes people to at least kill police if they don't kill other people. Listen to this. He says it's a sad irony that in our society, scandal breeds financial gain, sales of Cop Killer, and the Body Count album, on which it appears, have soared since law enforcement officers from around the country rallied behind police organizations like the National Association of Chiefs of Police and CLEAT, the Combined Law Enforcement Officers of Texas, and the American Federation of Police. Ice-T is but one rapper encouraging violent reaction to the presence of law enforcement. Rap group Almighty RSO defiantly sings "One in the Chamber," referring to the bullet they would use to kill a cop. Cool G Rap and DJ Polo's song "Live and Let Die" describes how G Rap brutally murders two undercover police officers as he tries to complete a drug deal. Tragically, this violent message is too often followed by its young audience. On April the 11th, 1992, Trooper Bill Davidson, formerly with the Texas Department of Public Safety, was killed in cold blood as he approached the driver of a vehicle that he had stopped for a defective headlight. The trooper's widow, Linda Davidson, described to me an account of the events surrounding the killing and the impact of this tragedy on the Davidson family. The teenage killer, Ron Howard, explained to law enforcement authorities that he felt hypnotized by the lyrics of 6 songs by the rap group Tupac from their album Tupacalypse Now, which I guess it's entitled Tupacalypse Now, which urged the killing of police officers. Howard claims that the lyrical instructions devoured him like an animal, taking control over his subconscious mind and compelling him to kill Trooper Davidson as he approached Howard's vehicle. Now, in the Bible, I'm going to just put an editorial comment in here. This is called demon possession. The Bible has a lot to say about that. Two psychiatrists found that the music still affects his psychological behavior. In a meeting with Linda Davidson, Howard expressed his desire to completely carry out the rap's instruction by putting away a pig's wife and dusting his family. Howard's reaction has left Linda dumbfounded, confused, bewildered, and most of all, she's very angry. The Davidson's anger is aimed not solely at Howard, but also has expressed itself in a civil lawsuit against Time Warner, the company that promotes Tupac. Again, Time Warner claims the First Amendment protects its right to promote songs that advocate the killing of police. In preparation for trial, the corporation's lawyers are closely observing the criminal trial of Ron Howard. Given the current state of American law, one can only hope that Time Warner will tire of the expense of defending state court actions prompted by such lyrics and attacks on police. Well, I can tell you right now that yes, they will. And my experience has been that when you sue a company, either one, they have to defend or their insurance company comes in to defend. It's especially powerful if the insurance company has to come in, because the insurance company is only interested in making money. Now, Time Warner is making a lot of money by selling these albums. The objective then has to be to take the profit out of it. That's simple enough. If there's 142 police officers who get killed every year and 142 police officers' families file suits against Time Warner and the other record companies, they'll be defending against 142 suits. Well, each one of those suits is going to cost $30,000 to defend. That's the minimum. And 142 times 30,000, let's see what we got here. 130,000 times 142, that means that the cost is $4,260,000. Now, of course, you're suing for $1 million, $2 million, $3 million. And what this does is it puts the corporation at risk, that amount of money. Now, they're not all going to win, and they're not all going to collect, because you'd have to prove a causal connection between the music and the officer's death. And there may be a causal connection, but you can't prove it. In the two officers' deaths here, where this Ron Howard says, gee, I was listening to this song, it had a hypnotic effect on me, and I went out and killed two policemen, or killed a policeman. That's a pretty significant cause and effect, whether or not the jury buys it, and whether or not the legislatures will buy it and enact legislation remains to be seen. That's political, of course. But if you'll think about this for a minute, what if I went out and I was advocating rape, and I said, you know, women are just a bunch of dummies, and they all need to be raped. Don't you think that that would... You know, that would get now and all these women's groups up in arms, and they'd say, gee, we got to do something about this quirky Gordon. I think that what you have here is that the police are so unpopular in American society. My common sense would say to me that you policemen ought to take a good, long, hard look at yourselves and ask yourself, why is it that the police are so unpopular? I can guarantee you that if I went out and I made a song that said we ought to rape rob and pillage women, or if we ought to commit acts of violence against small children, or if I was defending Catholic priests and their pedophiles, I think that there would be instant reaction. People are opposed to pedophilia, and they're opposed to rape. But, you know, they're not opposed to killing police. Think about that, you policemen out there. When I get through, I'll give you an editorial review on my experience. I'm a civil rights worker, and I've been working against police for 30 years. Police who abuse the law. I'm not opposed to police per se, just police like those that attacked Rodney King and hold Curbstone Court. And it's not that I'm in favor of Rodney King's. The guy was guilty as hell. He needed to be thrown in jail. He needed to be restrained, but not that way. And I think that the police, in general, are the proximate cause of their own injury. I'll show you why when we finish this article. He goes on to say, with growing lawlessness and violence in our society, every American is at risk of losing his property and his life to criminals. God, I don't know if I can wait till the end of the article. You know, with growing lawlessness and violence in our society, every American is at risk of losing his property and his life to criminals. I'm not sure that this former chief of police here has got his head screwed on straight. Let me tell you, Mr. Policeman, and all you policemen listening in. The Supreme Court, in a case called Miranda versus Arizona, clear back in the mid-1960s, identified 40,000 police agencies at that time. Surely there's many more than that now, but 40,000 police agencies, and they said in that case that there was at least one crime perpetrated by the police in that police agency every single day of the year. One crime a day. Now just take 40,000 times 365, and it's 14,600,000. You policemen out there perpetrate property crimes against the tax-paying citizens of America 14,600,000 times a day. I don't know how many times you commit crimes against criminals. It's something in excess to that number. Now listen to this, police. The latest numbers that I saw indicated that there were 14 million crimes a year committed by real criminals against the citizens of America. Now that's pretty revealing. There are actually more crimes committed against taxpaying American citizens by the police than there are by criminals. And you expect sympathy from us. Now I'm not justifying these rap singers and their lyrics advocating murder. You see, we have a law that says you shall do no murder. It's against the law to kill policemen. But you see what's going on over in Iraq right now? You see, we call those Iraqis over there terrorists. They call themselves patriots. I want to ask you, let's suppose the Iraqis, let's just turn this shoe around. What if the Iraqis had come into the United States and conquered our country? And they were trying to install an Islamic fundamentalist government over the United States. And a bunch of American citizens, we'll call them insurgents, were fighting with Molotov cocktails and dying by the thousands, trying to ward off this Islamic fundamentalist government being enforced or being imposed upon us. Wouldn't we Americans call ourselves patriots, and wouldn't those Iraqis call us terrorists and insurgents? You know, when you get down on the bottom line, all we're talking about here is whose perspective, whose side are you reviewing? So I'm sitting here saying, yes, it's wrong for these guys to be out here singing songs and killing policemen. But have you ever taken a look at yourselves and then ask yourselves, why are these blacks in the inner cities so disrespectful of the police and indeed so hateful toward the police? Is there something maybe you policemen are doing to these blacks in the inner cities that's causing this kind of a reaction? Well, I want to tell you there is. And I'm white, free white and 21, they say. And I'm a civil rights investigator, and I've done a lot of cases. You know, I spend my time in court quite often, arguing and battling with police and public officials over their misdeeds. And these people don't know how to go into court. They don't know how to get a redress of grievance. That's why we run a law school, to teach people how to get a redress of grievance without going out and killing the police. But if they don't know any other way, think about that. Hey, we're just about out of time here. I'm going to have to close this off. We'll be back to talk more about this music and what it does to people. You've been listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc. For more information, just go to the homeschooling page on the website, georgegordon.org. The Law Hour is carried worldwide on the internet, and all of these Law Hour programs are archived on the internet by title and date. All right, there's the signal. It says my time is up. We've got to leave it right there. I'll see you back here tomorrow. God willing, same time, same station. So until then, good night, friends.